Okay, we are in part 6 of this Jehovah series. The title of this one being Jehovah Our Peace. This title Jehovah is very significant because it is used over 5,500 times in the Old Testament. This title is of Jehovah is what God says His name is. Names in the Bible are much, much more significant than they are in our day and time. Like, God said to Joseph that Jesus' name was going to be Jesus because He shall save His people from their sins. And Jesus means Savior. Like, Abram's name was changed to Abraham, which means father of a multitude, because that was what he was. So names tell us what that individual or that entity is all about. And God said that His name is Jehovah. So what can we learn about God through this title or this name that He's given Himself, Jehovah? Well, that's what we're looking at in this series. And again, we're in part 6, Jehovah Our Peace. The reason we started looking at this is because of those first two verses that are written in the paperwork from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, which read, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in Him was yes. For," now listen to this, "all the promises of God in Him," in Christ, "are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us." See what that verse says? All the promises of God are in Him, in Christ, yes, and amen. In other words, all the promises of God find their fulfillment in Christ. You say, how could that be? Because God says so. And when you look at the promises of God, you find out that every promise of God, the eternal promises, the promises of all of time, have their fulfillment in Christ. Well, how we came across this studying out the Jehovah title is God, in giving Himself the name of Jehovah, tells us who He promises to be to us, His people. And under the Old Covenant, He told Israel that He was Jehovah, their peace. Their peace. In other words, they have a peace in God that otherwise they would not have. So this title, Jehovah, Our Peace, or Jehovah Shalom, as it's given in the Hebrew, is used only in Judges chapter 6, verse 24. And I'm going to go to Judges 6 to look at the context of this verse. Just to give you a little bit of a background, sometimes you can start in verse 1 here, but these people, the Midianites, were oppressing the children of Israel because the children of Israel had turned away from God again. So the children of Israel recognize this, and they cry out to God for help. That's what happens in the first 6 verses. Then this record picks up where God is trying to work with Gideon. So He sends His angel to start talking to Gideon. Gideon responds in verse 13. Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us?" Now, wait a minute. Gideon was of the nation of Israel, who God was in covenant relation with. And Gideon says, if the Lord is with us? God told them that He would be with them because of the covenant. Gideon is questioning this because of the circumstances. Then he says, why then has all these things happened to us? And where are all His miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. See, in the mind of Gideon, he's separated, and the nation of Israel is separated from God. This is all tied into Jehovah Our Peace. Watch this develop here. So, verse 16, you can jump to verse 16, and it says, "But the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man." So, the angel of the Lord, as the messenger of God, is trying to get to Gideon's mind. Gideon's thinking separated from God, and the angel's saying, no, the Lord is with you. He's not going to leave you. He's with you. So then when you get down to verse 23, it says the Lord. Now most of these titles, almost all of the titles Lord in the Old Testament, are the title Jehovah. Some of your translations will show that, like the ASV and the RSV. The ASV gives it, the word Lord is all capital letters, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, if it's the title Jehovah. Well, again, here in verse 23, it's Jehovah. So Jehovah said to him, "Peace to you. Do not fear, you shall not die." Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, "The Lord is Peace," or Jehovah our Peace. To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Baezrites, whoever these guys are. So it's Jehovah our Peace. Jehovah is our peace. Well, in this next section on your paperwork, where you have that number 07965, that's the Old Testament word study number, which any word study concordance or any word study tool that is number coded will have that number next to this word, shalom or peace. So the meaning of this word means completeness or soundness. Remember, Jehovah is our completeness. Jehovah is our soundness. Jehovah our welfare. Jehovah our health, our prosperity, our tranquility, our quietness, our contentment, our peace, our friendship. Friendship because of what you're going to see in the New Testament, where this word peace means joined. So if you're buddied up with somebody, you're friends with them. So this word shalom means peace from war. It communicates oneness and therefore a state of untroubled, undisturbed well-being. Wow, saints, Jehovah is our peace, which we're going to see here. If you go to the toward the bottom of page 2, now that whole next section is under the Old Testament. That's just for your study. Again, this paperwork is primarily for your study. We use it as like an outline when we go through the teaching. But all those verses in the Old Testament are very insightful once you understand what this word peace is talking about. So on the bottom of page 2, under the section of New Testament, peace refers to a state of tranquility, i.e. harmony, concord, oneness, resulting in security, safety, prosperity, felicity, because peace and harmony make and keep things safe and prosperous. Remember, Jehovah is our peace. Okay, now watch the rest of that paragraph. The New Testament word for peace is Irene, which is understood to come from a root word meaning to join. And you'll see this, an understanding of this as we look at this word. So in simplicity, this word peace means joined, where two parties are joined together, therefore they have peace. They have peace. And because of that, there's harmony between them. Concord, oneness, safety, security, prosperity. Do you understand? You're starting to get a feel for this word? Well, this is interesting. If you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 18, there's a record here which shows two parties having peace. It just happens to be the king of Jerusalem and the king of Israel. And they had been at war, enemies of each other, but they joined together and now they have peace because the son of one married the daughter of the other. Okay, so now they have peace. Now watch what happens here. These are two kings it's talking about here in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, starting in verse 1. Now Jehoshaphat had great riches and honor, and he allied himself by marriage with Ahab. See, one son married the other's daughter. Some years later, he went down to visit Ahab at Samaria, and Ahab slaughtered many sheep and oxen for him and the people who were with him, and induced him to go up against Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, "Will you go up with me against Ramoth-Gilead?" Now, remember, Ramoth-Gilead is it's going to be a war there, and Ahab and his army was going to go to battle there. So he's asking Jehoshaphat to join himself with Ahab. Now remember, they allied themselves to each other by this marriage of their children. So now they have peace. They're joined together. Now watch the rest of verse 3. And he, Jehoshaphat, said to Ahab, I am as you are. They're joined together now. I am as you are, and my people as your people, and we will be with you in the battle. In other words, what he's communicating is that because they have peace between these two parties that used to be enemies, now they have peace. Now, Jehoshaphat is saying, I am as you are. In other words, whatever you're dealing with, I am dealing with, because we're joined. We have peace. What a great truth in there. Okay, now go to the very bottom of page 2 on your paperwork in John 14, verse 27, that's quoted there. Jesus is training his disciples here, and he says, watch these words very closely. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, as you're going through all those records sometime of the Old Testament, you'll see that there also, they were not to be troubled or afraid, that records in the New Testament also, because they had peace between two parties. So, neither let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Handling that, go back to the first part of verse 27 where it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Jesus Christ was giving a peace unto them. His peace. His peace. And he says, not as the world gives. So in other words, the world cannot give this kind of peace. What kind of peace is this? Well, go to the top of your next page, page 3. Saints, this is a peace that the world can't give because it is peace with God. In the world, nobody can find peace with God. Nobody. There is no means in the world by which an individual can find peace with God. It is only through the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's why Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ says, I'm giving you a peace, my kind of peace. You see that? My peace I give unto you. What kind of peace was that? He had peace with God, joined to God, one with God. See, therefore he had everything that peace produces: safety, security, well-being, health. These are things that the church should see as normative, saints, and as we grow in understanding and acceptance of the truth, this is what we will see across the board in the body of Christ. It's a wonderful thing. See, when the church manifests who they are in Christ, the whole world will have it. The church will have the attention of the whole world because it will be a resemblance of the way God would have it be on earth. And this word peace communicates that to a great degree. So I would strongly recommend studying out, at least from this paperwork, it's a simple way to do it, this word peace to the Old Testament and New. And then for a more thorough study, just study the word peace throughout the Old and New Testament. It'll give you great insight. So that next paragraph on page 3, we have peace with God because of the blood of the cross. And a quote there from Ephesians 2:14, for he himself, referring to Christ Jesus, is our peace. Why? Because his blood was shed to pay for all sins. Once the sins, all the offenses between man and God were paid for, then there's nothing that's holding man away from God. There's nothing that's causing this difference between God and man. Man is now made to be one with God. See, it one with God. And this is what you see here in the next quote on the arrow, Romans 4:25 to 5:1. Now, you'll notice Romans 4:25 is the last verse in chapter 4. Then it goes right into chapter 5, verse 1, because there should not be a chapter break there, and you'll see it right from these verses lined up together. Romans 4:25 says, who, referring to Jesus our Lord, was delivered up for our offenses. He was delivered up for our offenses and raised for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have, or we are having, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ because we're justified by faith. Saints, had we not been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, we would not have peace with God. The means by which we have peace with God is through our Lord Jesus Christ, because had he not died for our sins, we would not have peace with God. What a powerful truth. The next point, next arrow, Romans 5:10, look at this. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. See that phrase? We were enemies, but now we have been reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Reconciliation is two things being joined together because all the differences have been removed. See, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, what a great truth. The next arrow, Ephesians 2:13 and 14. I'm giving you both verses together here. Says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye that once were far off are made near in or by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. So we were far, far away from God, but now we've been made near by the blood of Christ because he is our peace. And in this context, he's also the peace between Jew and Gentile, but we don't deal with that too much today. But we should have our ears on to hear that there's peace between Protestant and Baptist and Catholic and, you know, non-denominational. All that stuff doesn't matter to God. See, it's all, you know, we were all Jew and Gentiles. Now we're made one in Christ, and that is it. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, saints. Now watch what this peace produces. Look at this point number one on your paperwork. Mark 5:34 says, and he, Jesus, said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. So her being healed and made whole of her plague is tied into having peace. Peace. Peace manifested is wholeness. It's wholeness, saints. Since we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, wholeness should be expected. Whenever there's lack of health in any way, we automatically, it ought to be so automatic that we say, wait a minute, Jesus Christ died to give me peace with God where there is wholeness and only wholeness. Just by that verse alone makes that clear. Yet there's many of these verses in this paperwork. Look at point number two from Luke 7. And he, Jesus, said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. Thy faith has saved thee, made thee whole. Number three from Luke 8. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. So again and again and again, we see that wholeness is tied into this word peace. And we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our peace. The fifth point there with Matthew 10. And if the house be worthy, now this is when he's sending his disciples out to go preach the gospel and bring the wholeness of the kingdom of God to them. And it says, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. In other words, once you understand this word peace, what peace produces, bring that to this house when you go into it. But if they will not receive you, if they're not worthy of this peace, they won't receive you, then let your peace return to you. It's an interesting phrase. Number six from Luke 10. And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. You know, we bring the blessings of God. We bring the goodness of God where we go. See, in the sixth verse says, and if the Son, the follower of peace, be there. In other words, if somebody's there and they're following the ways of peace, prosperity, peace, health, they're following the Lordship of Jesus Christ, then your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. In other words, saints, what it's saying here very clearly, if people reject the truth, what they're rejecting is the benefits of the truth. Boy, it makes our hearts just cry out to want to help people, doesn't it? That compassion of God just gets welled up understanding this peace of God that we have through Christ. Go to number 8 from Galatians 5. This peace is a fruit of the Spirit. In other words, the more we walk in the realm of the things of God, the realm of the Spirit, the more we enjoy this fruit, and one of them is peace. From Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and so on. So peace is a fruit of the Spirit, so we get to enjoy more and more of it as we walk in light of the Spirit. So number 9 from Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, this is an interesting one. It's a real practical point. It says, be careful, which means anxious, for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, you know, tell God your problems. Talk to people about the solution. You know, you talk to people about the truth. Tell God your problems. That's what it's saying there. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, it's beyond understanding, shall keep, which means guard, your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Why through Christ Jesus? Because that's where the peace resides, saints. It's in Christ. He is our peace. Number 10 from Colossians 3. These are just simply commands written to the saints, the born-again ones. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Wow, what a statement. To the which you were also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know what rule means. Like a king rules. Let it rule. Let it rule. So to let it rule, we have to understand what it means. What peace, the peace of God, is all about. Then from 2 Peter 1:2, at number 11, it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Wow. How's that grace and peace multiplied unto us? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. See, saints, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, if you go up to the bottom of page 2, under the New Testament, it gives this definition. Peace refers to a state of tranquility. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have tranquility, i.e. harmony. With who, saints? With God. Why? Because Jesus Christ died for everything that was wrong between you and God. Everything. So now you have harmony with God. And concord. Again, the same. Oneness. This is resulting in or produces the effects of security. Don't you feel secure knowing you're one with God? What's going to hurt God? What's going to get through the shield of God being your peace? We ought to feel secure because of knowing we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not feeling secure with God, it's because you're not realizing that you have peace with God through your Lord Jesus Christ, that he eliminated everything that was wrong between you and God. Now you can feel secure and safe and prosperous. And prosperous. It's interesting, this word prosperity, how it's used in the scriptures. It's used two different ways. One is prosperity, how we think of it, where you have a lot of riches. But the other one is a more dominant one, and it's referring to having no need. In other words, a need comes up, it's supplied. Another need comes up, it's supplied. Like the way our Lord Jesus Christ walked on earth. He didn't own houses and properties and all these things, but he sure had no lack. Tax man comes. Peter gets all freaked out because he doesn't yet know peace with God. Jesus tells him, go fishing, Peter, and pull the coin out of the first fish you catch and pay the tax man. And that's what he did. Need came up, need supplied. That's prosperity. See, and now we have harmony with God, and things ought to be safe and prosperous. Because we are one with God, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great truth, isn't it, saints? So now that bottom paragraph on page 3. We were the enemies of God. from Romans 5:10, having no hope and without God in this world, according to Ephesians 2:12. But Jesus Christ died to pay for everything that stood between us and God. Now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. God had promised to achieve our peace by the promised Christ bearing our due punishment. All of the promises of God find their yea and amen in Christ. Therefore, in Christ we have safety, security, prosperity, felicity. Jehovah is all these promises to us through Christ. Since God is now for us, according to Romans 8:31, who or what can be against us? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So saints, as this truth just incubates in you, remind yourself again and again to help it incubate that you have peace with God. You've been joined to God through Jesus Christ's work. Everything that was wrong between you and God has been moved out of the way by Jesus Christ's work at Calvary. Now you're joined to God, reconciled to Him. You were enemies, now you're joined in partnership with Him. What's ahead of you now? Moment by moment, day by day, you in partnership with God. And why? Just because we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's a little bit of a framework anyway on Jehovah our peace. All the promises of God find their yes and amen in Christ, including Jehovah being our peace, not just Israel's, but ours too. What a great truth.